whether you are sitting in this room today or whether you are listening into the podcast, if you are listening into this and you are living in the lifestyle of homosexuality, can I just say thank you so much for listening in? Because frankly, I wouldn't. I mean, I wouldn't listen to anyone speaking out of the church on this topic, especially if I thought that possibly they didn't buy into this topic as something that was anything but judgment. So thank you for listening, and keep listening, because I want to travel all the way to the other side of this picture with you. And don't stop listening just as we get started, but keep going. This is a topic also that, unlike some topics we may deal with that are controversial, there are some people that will be deeply invested in this and others it'll have nothing to do with. This is one of those topics that probably every single one of you sitting in this room in some way, shape, or form bump into this particular subject in real everyday life, because you have friends, neighbors, loved ones, children, parents, wherever it is in the spectrum, that have found themselves in this world of homosexuality. And it is, especially from a biblical Christian perspective, a difficult subject to broach and to step into in the personal life, because you're not really sure what to do with all of that. What does God really say? What does it really mean? What should I do? How should I respond? So tonight, I'm going to take you on a journey through what God says and what we've found there, and then how we've responded to that in the past, how we continue to respond to that, what we've done about that, and where we should land if we want to be people that respond to this well. Now, certainly for me, being a people pleaser in my nature, if I had my way, I would want to take this topic and be the one to finally prove once and for all that what the Bible says about homosexuality as something that is not of God and something that God did not design as natural and normal and something that God does not intend for us and something therefore that is measured in this word called sin, this missing of the mark of God, I would want to be the one that would figure out finally how the Bible has been misinterpreted and how, frankly, everything's okay. And it is just sexual preference and sexual orientation, and it doesn't really matter because it all fits. And I want you to know from my heart, I would love with all my heart to jump into Scripture and land there, because that would make my job tonight incredibly easy. I would show that to you and we'd be done with the discussion and we'd go, great. And half of you would leave because you'd be mad because you'd have your deal, and then we just go from there. But the reality is that as you jump into Scripture, there are some very particular things we have to look at. Homosexuality begins in terms of God stepping into our world and culture and saying, there is an issue with homosexuality that I must deal with and I must have you know, and it is something that I am not pleased with and do not want to be part of. And that begins in the book of Leviticus. So we're going to turn to Leviticus, and we're going to go to Leviticus 18:22. And again, I want you to travel with me through this, because I want to show you where this has gone in the past and where it needs to go in the future. Leviticus chapter 22, this is the book of the law, and it's being laid out as God is laying out the law. Leviticus 18, verse 22. And we get into this part in Leviticus, and it says this. It says, do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman, that is detestable. So keep in mind, this is God's law being written into the Old Testament, and he steps in here and he begins by making this statement. Right before that in 21, he says, do not give any of your children to be sacrificed to Moloch, for you must not profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. And right after that, he talks about the fact that we should not take our sexuality into the world of animals. So this is where this whole thing is tied together, okay? And smack dab in the middle of that, he says, if a man lies with a man in the same way he lies with a woman, that is detestable. Now you read that and you hear those words and already you're beginning to cringe. I know I am, because I know how sensitive this topic is in our culture. And I know how many friends I have that struggle with this issue or live in this issue. And I've got to stand before them and say these kinds of words, and I don't want to. And so you already begin there. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13, we find the next step here, and it says this. If a man lies with a man as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They must be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. Now, let me just make a statement here based on these two verses, all right? We're gonna dig in a little bit to where people have taken pro-gay theology and developed it, because obviously, as you're looking at this, there's a huge, huge group of people that have come to this understanding that we have misinterpreted or misunderstood what God says about homosexuality in Scripture. And certainly, I am more than open to dig into that and see. And so as I have, and as we've studied and looked at what they're saying and where it's coming from and digging in, these two verses begin by saying, guys, this fact of a man laying with a man is detestable in the eyes of the Lord. And it begins there, and no matter how you interpret the Hebrew Scriptures here, two things are clear. That this is speaking of homosexuality, and that this is speaking of detestable. Those two come together. So what one has to do here in order to jump out of this is to take this particular area and say, wait a second. Here we are in the middle of Leviticus, and we would all agree in the room here that there are a number of laws in Leviticus that you and I would certainly say that is ridiculous. It was cultural, it was for that time, it was bound within the law of that period, and it does not transcend the law into the world in which we live. So why is it that we would take homosexuality here and we would single this one thing out and say, here it is, this is the one thing that definitely is still detestable and horrible, everything else is fine? Well, in essence, as you step into that, one has to realize that although these particular prohibitions in Leviticus are speaking about homosexuality, and they can be lumped in with this idea of perhaps they are just cultural at the time, and that God in our culture, in our world, releases us from that freedom, one has to realize that in this same chapter, adultery, incest, sorcery, homosexuality, child sacrifice, all of these things are also condemned. And they are confirmed, as you look at this, some of those things are confirmed in the New Testament. Now, remember, one could argue that if something was not confirmed in the New Testament, perhaps one could argue maybe there is a gap here. But in this case, the things that are specifically reiterated in the New Testament are adultery, incest, sorcery, and homosexuality. And so we know that homosexuality makes that jump from the Old Testament into the New Testament, and we see a connection occur there. Also, in Leviticus 18, it says that this particular sin of a man laying with a man defiled the land. It was not just simply a sin of the process between the two people, but it was a sin that regardless of whether it was the Jewish people doing it or anyone doing it, it was a sin that covered this idea of this sin transcends the Jewish culture and the law that God is speaking into their life. It is a sin that God sees across the board. And then, of course, they look at this word abomination, or this word as we have in the NIV, it is despicable. And it is a Hebrew word that they say, as you look at it, that this Hebrew word is used primarily in ceremonial practices. So in this case, what it is speaking of here is that this particular sin, when used in ceremonial practices, is a detestable thing to the Lord. But outside of ceremony, it is something that can occur naturally. Now, this particular Hebrew word for abomination here is a Hebrew word that is used in other places, including in the book of Proverbs chapter 6 and 16 through 19, and it is a word that is not exclusively used in ceremony at all. As a matter of fact, not only that, but in Leviticus, God does not give us any sense that there is a parenthesis after the statement. As long as it is out of ceremony, we're fine. So in Leviticus, if you want to struggle through facing the fact that this is not speaking of something that is sinful and not speaking of something that transcends, you're going to run into some difficulty. There's no doubt about that. If you jump into the New Testament, you're going to run into some very interesting things. The first thing we realize is, do you realize that Jesus never once spoke of homosexuality? Never once in the words of Jesus did he mention homosexuality. Did he condemn homosexuality? Did he say anything bad about homosexuality? Did he say anything good about homosexuality? He did not mention it. And so the argument would be, if Jesus thought that it was an important subject, certainly he would have mentioned that this is a bad thing to do. But since Jesus felt that it was unimportant to mention that it was bad, surely we can deduct from that that if Jesus said nothing, then we should probably say that it can travel through culture. It's interesting, though, that just because Jesus didn't say anything in Scripture about it doesn't mean he didn't say anything at all. As a matter of fact, John writes and says, if I wrote down everything Jesus said, I would fill up so many books that I wouldn't even know what to do with what I filled up. What we do know about Jesus, though, because making any argument out of silence is a little crazy, is that Jesus did not say things about some other things. He did not say anything about spousal abuse. He didn't say anything about incest. He didn't say anything about bestiality. He didn't say anything about any of those topics. And yet none of us would sit here and go, oh, since Jesus said nothing about those things, they must be cool and they must be okay. Just because Jesus doesn't speak on something, it doesn't mean anything. But I can tell you what Jesus did do. Jesus, in the book of Matthew in chapter 19, in the context of divorce, Jesus confirmed for us very clearly in chapter 19 in verse 4 through 6 that God's intent for mankind was for a man to come together with a woman and for them to leave their father and mother and to come together in marriage, and that is the process to which God established. Jesus confirms for us what was confirmed in creation, that we were created to be husband and wife. And God created us that way. Now, certainly in Paul's writings, he writes a fair amount about homosexuality. There are several places that Paul writes in the book of Romans, in the book of 1 Corinthians, and in the book of 1 Timothy. Romans 1, 26 through 27, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10, and 1 Timothy 1, 9 through 11. In all of these three areas, Paul writes about the issue of homosexuality, and he deals with homosexuality in some very particular ways. In specific, he uses this word natural. He says every time they have sold out what is natural for what is unnatural. And in doing so, God has turned them over to the process in which they live. And they face the consequences of that. Now, what the pro-gay theology will argue in this particular case is, listen, what Paul is saying is that if it is natural for you to be homosexual and you give that up to try not to be, that is the problem. And if it is natural for you to be heterosexual and you act out in homosexuality, that is a problem. But Paul is not saying that for those whom it is natural to be homosexual, it is okay. It is not okay to be homosexual. Again, as you dig into these passages, there's a couple of key things to notice. Number one, that what Paul unpacks here, he does not put a parenthesis around any of these things, saying that under particular aspects, when something is natural or unnatural, it is either okay or not okay. He simply says they are trading in what is natural for what is unnatural. And in fact, in Romans chapter 1, he literally says the men lusted after one another. So we know that this had become what? Natural for them. So what was natural for those men was unnatural for Paul as he wrote this, saying this is not what God designed everything to be. As you dig into the words here, there is some struggle with the Greek words here used here for homosexuality. And the pro-gay theology would say that these words are actually leaning more toward prostitution, male prostitution, than they are male homosexuality. If you take a look at the Greek words here that are used for homosexuality, and you compare those Greek words to the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, you will see that in Leviticus, the words used there for homosexuality are identical to the words used here in the Hebrew. And so the direct translation from the Hebrew translated into the Greek is, in fact, the exact same word that Paul uses. So even if you want to travel down that particular way, that particular argument that maybe this means male prostitution, you are going to run into some serious problems. Now, where is all this taking us? I'm jumping all over the place here, telling you this and that about the fact that the Bible, you can work with it, you can twist it, you can turn it, you can shape it, you can do whatever you want with it. But at the end of the day, you are going to get stuck in a big way with this issue of homosexuality. You are. And believe me when I tell you, there is nothing I want more than to figure this one out. But as you study, you just run into wall after wall after wall. And so we run into this issue that it is now becoming apparent that God feels that homosexuality, in fact, doesn't just feel, but states, and emphatically so states, that homosexuality is not what he created for us. It is not what is natural. It is not what he wants for us, and it is not his intent for our lives. So when we live in it, we live outside of God's plan, and when we live outside of God's plan, it leads to problematic issues in our life. And that is not just true for homosexuality. It is true for anything that you choose to live outside of God's world. Now, as we establish that God's word very clearly and directly, outside of a really delicate work of trying to twist and turn, says that homosexuality is a problem, this is when the church, and I'm going to use the term the church for now as kind of the bigger global voice of the church. I don't mean every church, because there are great churches out there, but the church in general stepped in to this issue and made some determinations that I think started creating a world that is such a mess today that I don't even know what to do with it. The first thing that the church determined as they stepped in is they determined that this issue is incredibly simple. This is a very simple issue. I mean, let's just face it. I mean, let's just look at it. The Bible says that homosexuality is wrong. As a matter of fact, the Bible says homosexuality is an abomination. As a matter of fact, it uses words like detestable. And those words seem to give us a whole new passion on the simplicity and power of this particular sin. And so we looked at this sin and we said to ourselves, this is an incredibly simple issue. If you struggle with homosexuality, what you are doing is an abomination to God, and it is wrong, and you are in deep trouble, and you got to stop it, and you got to stop it now. And that is as simple as it is. I mean, certainly, it is so obvious of how God feels about homosexuality that if you were someone that was homosexual, you would step into this world, and if you loved God at all, you would quit immediately doing what you are doing, and you would stop feeling the way you do about the people you feel. And we made it that simple. And then we took it beyond simple, and we said, as a second step, not only is this a simple issue, but if you would dare step forward, if you would dare suggest that this was not a choice on your part, that somehow from the time you were young, you struggled with the issue of being attracted to people of the opposite sex, we would tell you that you couldn't be more wrong, because God would never create anyone to feel those kinds of things. So somewhere along the way, you decided, I want to be homosexual. And if you can't figure out exactly when you decided that, that's a problem you're going to have to deal with. But I can tell you right now, it's simple. You chose to be gay, choose not to. And then that drove us into an attitude that said, since this is such a simple issue, and since you chose to be gay, to be homosexual, we will fix you. We will do it. As a matter of fact, we'll start programs, lots of them. We'll send you to homosexual farms where they will work with you and deal with you and fix you. And they'll send you back normal. And it's so sad to see you so abnormal. But don't worry, when we, the Christian church, are done with you, you'll be just fine. And we laugh about that, but as horrible as that sounds, it is exactly what we began to do. We began to say, listen, since God is clear that this is wrong, if you struggle with this, our first and most important act to you is to fix you. And we will prove to you how simple that fix is. We'll teach you how to make the right choices about your lifestyle. Let me tell you something. When you dig into the world of homosexuality, it is everything but simple. There is nothing simple about it. You know, medicine has yet to prove emphatically that you can be born homosexual, that there is a gene of some kind that allows you to literally be born that way. Medical technology has not been able to prove that, though many have tried, and many would say that we are close to that or that there is evidence to that. And certainly as I have dug into this topic, I got to tell you, I have struggled with this big time. Because as I look at stories and I hear testimonies of people who tried to get fixed and it didn't pan out so well for them, and they got much more messed up on the other side than when they were just fine before the Christians got their hands on them, and all that started happening, it becomes difficult not to say there's something that happens here that is hard to put your hands around. I'll tell you, though I stand on this stage and I will tell you based on what I understand and what I've studied, that I certainly would lean on the arena of saying, look, you are not born homosexual. I can tell you we also live in a planet where people are born a whole lot of ways that aren't normal. And there's a whole lot of stuff that goes on that's a mess because sin is doing its work in our bodies and minds. And I'll tell you, it is difficult to put your fingers on that one. But I can tell you emphatically about some other things. Whether or not someone can be born and be born in a world where that is the bent in which they will go, we have found out in medicine these days that there is a tremendous amount that happens prenatally in the womb. Depending on the attitudes and environments that a mother finds herself in that prenatal time, there are things that happen in that womb that are still mysteries to science but are blowing the mind right now. In fact, I'm reading about Rahel and the adoption that we're jumping into there. And I got to tell you, the things that happen in the prenatal and postnatal and early childhood stages are such wiring that it blows the mind what I have to be able to do as a dad to love that child as she comes into my home. Forget prenatal. As soon as that child is born into an environment, things begin to happen. And then out of that environment, we go into early childhood. And in early childhood, depending on the mother and the father relationship, and depending on a million different things that happen there, and depending on how strong or how weak your mother or father are, it begins to impact certain things. And if you are already have certain things in your body that are shifted a different way, it becomes a very, very difficult thing to shape into. And then you walk out of early childhood into early adolescence, and from early adolescence into late adolescence and into adulthood, and depending on where you find yourself, it impacts things. And it is not simple. It is complex and it is difficult. And then you live in a world where the orientation of sexuality in our culture has shifted dramatically, and everyone is shouting to you, hey, don't worry about it. Experiment with this. It's okay. Everything's fine. And you've already lived through all of that mess, and you're coming out on the other side. And then they tell you, not only is it okay with the orientation, but then the behavior is encouraged. And once the behavior takes root, what becomes most important to a human being, what is most important to you and I, is identity. And if you don't fit somewhere, man, you begin to die. And you find an incredible tight-knit community that you can step into. And you move into that community. And then we step into that world and we think that's simple. And we think it's a quick, easy fix that we can go, hey, the Bible says it's bad, so you got to quit. We're insane if we think that that's easy. And yet that's exactly how we have acted as the church in the past. We have singled out homosexuality among a few other sins as the ones that we look at and go, you walk in the back doors of our church and we know that you are homosexual, we start with that conversation. Now, beyond that, the church did something else that became unbelievably damaging. In the 80s, the gay community had really started rising up in the 70s because the church was pushing and pushing. And so the Christian gay community started rising up. And let me just say something for the record. If whatever you struggle with in your life right now, whatever that journey is you're on in the areas that you struggle, when that conviction first comes and you know that there's something about it that you probably should deal with, and then the church, instead of loving you and journeying with you through that, judges you, you know what you begin to do? I mean, if it were me, whatever that thing was, I'd get together with a couple of other people that struggle with the same thing, and we'd start making it okay. Because why wouldn't we? We'd start proving to the church how crazy they are for judging what we're trying to do. And in the 70s, that's what began to happen. And this movement arrived where the gay community said, listen, this is crazy the way we're being treated by the church. This can't be right. And they started shifting things into the theologies we're talking about. And then in the 80s, early 80s, there were rumors that started moving around the gay community. There were guys that would wake up and not feel so good, and they'd get a fever, and they wouldn't know what it was. And then they'd go to the hospital, and before you knew it, they'd in the hospital, and they died. And we didn't know it then. We know it now. The birth of an epidemic was created, and it started showing its ugly face, and AIDS became a huge issue. And do you know what the church did during that time? A few loud voices calling themselves the church got up, and they started shouting, "You see, we told you. You've done bad things, and this is God's judgment poured out on you." And I cannot begin to imagine what it must feel like to be a person trapped in a world where you are nervous and scared, and it's new, and there's a disease that is tracking through this world like wildfire. You don't know what it is. You don't know what it's going to do. You're not even sure if you're doing what's right. Parts in you tell you you're not, and parts in you tell you you are. You're struggling back and forth, and then the one place that has been given the message of the gospel of redemption and love and grace and mercy and freedom from everything in this life that bounds us, that one place that had the opportunity in that moment to step in the most powerful and incredible and unbelievable way to bring hope and life and light to a community that was dying, we decided to get up and say, "You are judged by God." And it is no wonder to me that that community went, "We are done with this thing called the church. And we are done with this theology that the church throws at us. We're done with that." And what a terrible and horrible way it was for us to respond as a church. And when I say the church, understand, there were churches doing wonderful things during that time, but they were far and few between. And as a matter of fact, they were cast into the world of judgment along with many others. And during that opportunity, the greatest damage that I think could ever be done to the community of people that have found themselves in the homosexual lifestyle was done then. And we have certainly not died down from that. Just turn the news on and see what is on the signs that people carry around outside of their churches and their places. Words like abomination and detestable and hell and terrible and leave and die. Words like judgment and AIDS and, it just blows the mind. And everything that Jesus told us to do is lost in those moments. So, let me just start from where I think we should go from here. We have established, without a doubt, in a very short period of time, and I can certainly go into much more, but we have established that God has decided in whatever wisdom He holds that is greater than anything we can imagine, that He created us to be husband and wife in a relationship between a man and a woman to enjoy the greatest wonder of a connection that you can ever experience. And not only did he decide that, but he decided that that marriage relationship would represent the love of Jesus Christ to the church. And he created a world that is far bigger than just the human experience, but created a world that goes beyond human experience. And he created a world that said, if you live outside of that experience, you are living in a world that is unnatural and that does not belong into your life to bring freedom. And as God did that and we established that, God then called the church to go out into the world and to become the voice and the herald of freedom that God brings. You know, here at Mosaic Church, as we sit here, that I believe without a shadow of a doubt that when we do it God's way, it brings what? Life and freedom. And when we do it our way, it brings death and destruction. And sometimes we live in our death and destruction for a long time before we figure that out. And there's not one of you sitting in this room that has not journeyed to a large extent through death and destruction on many occasions because of stuff you're up to that you think is just fine. And it took some beautiful person to walk into your life and quietly journey with you through the process until they had earned the right to be heard by you and then spoke gently and lovingly into your life about those things until the Holy Spirit did His work and convicted you of the things He needed to. And until we get there, we are all fine with journeying together until we walk into the sin of homosexuality. And then we're not fine anymore, are we? Because then we jump right back to where we start. This is simple. It's a choice, and we need to fix it. And so the conversation begins there. A couple walks into the back of the church. They're holding hands. They're the same sex. And all of us go, oh, we got to fix that. Can you imagine how you would feel if you walked into the back of the church and the greeter was there and their first thing was, hi, how are you? Can I ask you a question? Is there anything in your life right now that you're not doing God's way? And you go, what do you mean? Well, I mean, is there anything you're doing that in any way would not be biblical? I don't understand. Well, here's a list for you. Pick one of these. We've listed them. And you look down and you see hundreds that you might be involved in, and you're like, I don't know which one to pick. And they go, you don't? You do that many? Yeah. Well, we're going to have to fix that before we get to come in here. Can you imagine if somebody looked at you? Just hear me out for a second. Can you imagine if somebody looked at you and said, because you struggle with lust in your mind, you are not a Christian and you don't love Jesus? I mean, do you want to get hurt? Do you want to feel pain? Can you imagine if somebody looked at you and they saw you treating your husband a little off base because you'd had a bad day and they were like, you don't love Jesus? And we've done that, haven't we? We've started drawing lines in the sand saying that if you are struggling with homosexuality, you can't possibly love Jesus and you can't possibly be a Christian. And I read my Bible and Christ says that the righteousness that is ours is not a righteousness of our own, but it is a righteousness given to us by Jesus. And he covers all of our unrighteousness. See, part of the reason why the homosexual community, the gay community, has had to try to figure out how on earth they can make the Bible say that it's okay is because we never bothered to love anyone in that community properly. And we've got a lot of work to do. I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, I want to swing the pendulum all the way this side and say, we can't even touch this one until we've spent plenty of time making sure that people know we do not love them just if they get fixed. Have you ever heard this one? You know, love the sinner, hate the sin. Ever heard that one? I love that one. I don't know who came up with that one, but they should be shot in the foot. Because that's, you know, I buy into that. Don't get me wrong. I buy into that. But what we use that for is a joke. That just translates into hate the person if they don't get fixed. And I tell you, we as a church need to be able to step into the lives of people the way Jesus stepped into the lives of people. John said it this way, he was full of grace and truth. Yes, I would love to compromise the truth tonight to make things easier, but I can't do that. But long before we step into this truth and try and help people journey through this complex, difficult, and extremely deep issue tied into identity and person and love and relationship and everything that makes life good for you and me, we should spend a whole lot of time just becoming friends like we do with everybody else. The gay community is not them, and we are not us. It's not like we, nice people, need to go love them poor people who are stuck in horrible sin. The gay community is you and me struggling with stuff that they're struggling with as you and I struggle with stuff we struggle with. And yes, we have made things complicated now. Now the gay community believes that what they're doing is fine because we spent our time in the 70s and 80s hating them so badly that they had no choice but to go down that road. And we've got a long road back. I hope with all of my heart that Mosaic Church will be a place where anyone can experience an authentic relationship with God, where anyone can walk in and journey into a love that they have with Jesus that is extraordinary and wonderful, and where anyone knows when they walk into these doors that we will do what Jesus did. With grace and truth, we will journey with them. And Jesus came with grace first and truth later. And there are moments in Scripture, no doubt, where Jesus stepped into somebody's life, the woman at the well, the prostitute, where in a matter of minutes, he was able to do both. He happens to be Jesus. So don't try and copy him on that one. What took him minutes takes us hours, days, weeks, months, years sometimes. And there's going to come a day at this church, I hope with all my heart, that we will have many people walking through our doors that live a homosexual lifestyle, and that they will know without a shadow of a doubt that there are no differences between them as a human being and us as a human being. That there is no them and us. That we are in this together, this journey toward Jesus. And that if they ask, do you think that what I'm doing is biblical? That with all of my heart, I will tell them, no, it's not. And when we don't do it God's way, it leads to death, destruction, and bondage in our lives. But let's journey for a while before we broach all of that, because it's complex and difficult sometimes. And yes, in time, as the Holy Spirit works in your life, you too will understand the great freedom that comes with doing it God's way. I'm not here to fix anyone. I'm here to show them that when you follow God, no matter how hard it is, it leads to great freedom. I hope that we will step into a hurting community full of hidden baggage and be the ones that will walk beside them as we walk beside each other. I want to say so much more because I'm so disappointed in what the church has done with this one. I'm so horrified at how the church has managed to hate people just because they're gay. Let's start earning the right to be heard again by loving one another, no matter who we are, no matter what we struggle with, so that we can journey together toward Jesus. And let's see where it takes us.